Big Boss Filmworks presents Motown Mafia Podcast, dedicated to depicting life in the struggle, and the struggle is relative. This week, 2021, the year in review, with our special guest, American Dope's Al Profit, documentarian, filmmaker, crime historian, and he comes with visionary cinematographer rendered useful from Los Angeles. So without further ado, we're about to get into the show. My name is Lou Stevens. Check us out at youtube.com/BigBossFilmworks, BigBossFilmworks.com, Big Boss Filmworks on Facebook. Like us, share the content. And as always, Big Boss Filmworks, Motown Mafia Podcast. Here we go.
What's happening, family? It is your man, CRB Jr., Courtney Robert Brown Jr., in the house, live in the D. Got some dear friends and new friends.
What up, though?
in the house. For those who don't know, if you've been under a YouTube rock, we got to my left, Alan Al Profit Bradley. What up, friend?
I said my government probation name.
Oh, that, you, baby, you famous though.
I guess though they can look
at this point,
cat is out the bag.
Your anonymity, and we got brother Render here. What
Render,
up, dog?
Render, you sweet. Y'all can find me in IG and all the socials. You know, I'm a video director up and coming. You'll see a lot of my work.
Al Profit stamped and certified.
Al Profit stamped, American Dope
brought
certified.
Brought him American from dope. LA with me, baby.
See, straight from Hollywood. Straight from Hollywood.
No, we straight from downtown LA. We don't mess in Hollywood.
You don't know Hollywood now.
We're
yet.
Step up. Downtown's a step up from Hollywood. Oh, yeah. Hollywood is where the waitresses and male prostitutes who claim to be actors and actresses live on each other's couch. Hollywood is where, downtown is where business gets done.
There it is, straight from downtown LA. So what street you talking about?
So we're on Cracker. Render here has been helping me put together my new project. I got a two-floor building down in the fashion district.
Looks hot. Looks hot.
Got an art gallery in the front room.
Looks like you can do music, film.
Yep. We got to build a whole site wall, like a cyclorama, infinity wall up on the top. We got podcast facilities. Then down on the first floor, I got a nice office and have the front is an art gallery, chandeliers, nice marble floor. The artwork we have in there right now, I don't know if people remember. Did you see those? They were quite popular this year, speaking of recapping the year. Anti-Social Social Club. Remember those shirts?
Yeah.
So the artist that made those, David Sebastian, that's whose artwork I got in there.
That's hot. So
I partnered with a woman, Karen Bystedt. Shout out to Karen Bystedt and her store at the Beverly Center, the Lost Warhol. So she has a big art store in the Beverly Center, so that's my partner. So I get art from her, and we kind of doing a share. It's kind of like our downtown location. So.
And it's open now.
You guys
are doing what you do right now.
Yeah, making some key alliances out there, baby. I ain't go out there to play around.
Obviously, what you've done with your channel is just awesome. Yeah. You know, me and Al hooked up. It's been over a decade now. Over a decade ago.
Happy anniversary, buddy.
Check it out, fam. December 19th will be 10 years.
Oh, it was.
It was December 19th, 2011.
Wow.
At Wall Street. Shout out to Mr. Moore. Shout out
that
to Big Jane.
10 years ago,
Wall Street.
I mean, it doesn't seem like yesterday, but it doesn't seem
doesn't
like...
doesn't seem like a decade ago. We dropped Motown Mafia. We premiered it. You had me and Al come out.
Lady passed out when you mentioned
the 120
keys.
That they was going to cut it. Yeah, man, right? It's been 10 years. 10 years, been quite a ride. So since then, let's go down your catalog real quick. Since then, Frank Matthews came out right after that, right?
Yeah, Frank Matthews, T. Stucky,
Jimmy Hoffa.
American Dope, Master of Dreams, American Dope, Cold War, Heroin Heat, American Dope, White Powder, Black Power, and really cranking out the short and mid-length content for YouTube and Facebook video now.
Yeah, so if you guys are not hip, again, you would have to be kind of under a rock if you guys are not familiar with American Dope. But, I mean, I like...
Oh, I got the clothing,
the merch that goes
with it.
I thought that Cold...
Cold War Heroin Heat was
a
powerful, man. It took me to connect the dots in a way that someone just sitting there watching could follow. Because it was pretty complicated and spread over time. It was a lot of work.
And what I found, I mean, besides being a history guy myself, you tied in that Cold War heroin heat, what became the French Connection.
Predates it even, yeah.
Predates the French Connection. And then, of course, it tied into my life because the bag that Eddie and my father made their first moves with, that Eddie was getting from the Gambino family.
Was part of that whole
French Connection thing. And I never knew the backstory. So for you guys who are into that and want some beyond just the
run of the mill,
if you really want to know, because you really did lay out the international and how geopolitics.
That French Connection thing, I mean, the fact that, so they were the first people, so as the drug culture in the United States was, you know, ramping up in the mid-60s, the first big organized ring, I mean, you had different mafia rings in the 40s and 50s that were big, but they were a couple different ones, and they would last for a few years, but the first was the French Connection, which really just means these Corsican gangsters,
okay,
some of whom had been employed in the Carlinga, which was the basically the French secret police set up by the Nazis. When occupied France helped run the Holocaust and et cetera, and with some of the money they had stolen during the war, set up labs. So for people to understand why if heroin is coming from France, it was that these French gangsters were buying Turkish opium and they were processing it in labs outside of Marseille, France.
And their processing was the best in the world.
So you could get they could make a kilo over there for $5,000. They could get 20,000 wholesale for it in New York. And then, of course, once it busts down on the street, you know, 400,000, 500,000.
So likely the mob was paying about 15,000 to 20,000.
Then the black guys would maybe get it for
60.
Or maybe if the big, you know, the Nicky Barnes or the Frank Matthews wasn't paying much more than that, but
30.
Yep.
About 30, I think, is what Eddie and them back then. Mm-hmm. About 30 a brick, right?
Probably with a little touch on it.
They took it down from 100% to 90.
Yep.
But then they moving a ridiculous amount of weight.
Yep. And so there was a lot of Nazi war criminals. August Ricord was at the center of it, and he was basically like, think of it as a clearinghouse. So there's different French cooks, and there's different mafia, for the most part. At the end, they might add some black or Cuban customers, but for the most part, mafia customers. So Ricord is sitting down in Paraguay, which was a place that a lot of Nazi war criminals escaped to.
Right.
And he's facilitating, and he was the first to send big loads of mixed heroin and cocaine. Because cocaine was big in New York in the 60s.
Yeah, I mean, especially among the movers and shakers, the elite.
But, I mean, there were large loads going to New York by the late 60s. And, Ricord was involved in all that. And Ricord's, one of his business partners was one of the, like, I don't know, the head of the Paraguayan Air Force, whose son or son-in-law got taken into custody in federal detention, either Brooklyn or Manhattan, and the only person I ever heard of escaping from there, he popped up in Paraguay.
With the help of whom?
Well, there was no even, it wasn't even like it was a known escape, it was just like he wasn't there anymore, and then he was in Paraguay, so, you know.
So, we know Frank Matthews was getting that French Connection.
Oh, yeah. Dope. Well, as I talk about him in White Powder, Black Power, where I was able to find out some more information about Frank, he probably, I mean, the feds think he did a load. Him and Elwood Bynum and some others chipped in. Frank would have been the main guy. He did a load of 400 kilos of heroin from the French at once, which is like, you know, it's like a third of the yearly consumption back then of the country or something. And
400 bricks.
Untouched. 400 bricks. And it came over in... So when the Germans were building Fortress Europe, when they were preparing for D-Day,
right,
you have these, they're mines in the water. So they're balls of steel with chains holding them to the sea floor near the shore, right, and they have explosives inside. So if a ship hits them, they blow up. So they had these things. Obviously, the explosives were no longer in them. So they're these these empty metal spheres that were mines used by the Nazis, filled those with the heroin, floated them across the Atlantic, scuba divers on the Manhattan docks went and got the dope.
Wow, and that's a real thing there.
They're described it as happening. That's what they think happened, yeah.
So, I mean, well, the French Connection thing was such a big thing, I know, for those who maybe are too young to
realize. And then you're dead, so the aftermath of the French Connection, so people went to prison. Ricord got 20, only did 10, didn't die in prison, went to Paraguay.
Right.
But your dad was in Atlanta with Papa and those guys, and a bunch of them, or several of them, got murdered. So of the French Connection people that went to prison, Ricord did a little time and got out, and some of the other high-ranking ones got murdered in Atlanta USP when your dad was there.
Well, Vince Papa.
Yep, and another one, too. I forget the name, but a couple of them did.
Vince Papa got whacked.
In the pen.
In the pen.
There were 9 murders in Atlanta.
Yeah, the old man, because one of the guys that they thought were telling, I mean, to show you the power of the mob again back then. I guess the guy got to Atlanta at midnight.
And was dead in the morning.
He was dead by 5 in the morning. Whoa. With a canary stuffed in his mouth.
Oh, yeah. Well, look what happened to Whitey Bulger.
Yeah, he made it work. Yeah. A day? Not even a day, right?
Yeah.
They hit him as soon as he got...
They took an 80-something-year-old guy in a wheelchair, who everyone knew who he was, and just stuck him in. I mean, you know, they sentenced him to death.
Yeah.
You knew too well when you know... Here's the thing about knowing secrets. They make you safe until they make you dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Wow. Wow, so that's Cold War Heroin Heat. They can find that
on all streaming platforms. Well, other than Netflix. So Tubi, Amazon, blah, 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 all that stuff. Blah, blah, Apple TV, all that.
It's
YouTube. It's on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube.
Check that out for real. For real. Get some history of the game, especially people who follow what Frank Matthews, what Eddie Jackson, those guys are doing.
And you guys have done a good job over the last year and a half of making a lot of original content, expanding on the Motown Mafia story, telling a lot of other little anecdotes. And we've talked about doing a part two. It's just so, I'm so caught up in doing stuff every day. But now here we have a young man.
We got to do that.
Render.
We got to do that this year.
So we have a young man here, Render.
You want to help us out on that, Render?
Well, if I can just, oversee, work with you guys with the, hey, here's the ideas we're going to do, and then he can kind of be in charge of the implementation. That would be a good feather in your cap, and that'll make some money. And it's low-hanging fruit, because it's million store. It's just a matter of putting it together.
Yeah, I mean, we're here. Well, this thing that we're doing here at Big Boss, and, you know, obviously you've been here with us from the conception, it's become not just our platform for the Motown Mafia story, but if you've noted that I've said, you know, at a certain level of the game, the air gets thin, the fraternity is small. And so this thing has gave us an opportunity. A lot of other people from this town have done their thing now, reach out and want to participate. So we got a chance to do something real special with a Motown Mafia Part 2, kind of bring the story back up today. So you're on record now, Randy. You ready? We about to put it down in 2022.
First of all, Motown Mafia. I love that name. That just rolls off the tongue so easy. That's just, man.
It's been working for us.
Oh, yeah. It's been working for us. So available, if you do not know, 10-year anniversary again coming up. Motown Mafia, to toot our own horns. The award-winning, critically acclaimed Motown Mafia, the story of Eddie Jackson, Courtney Brown.
We can even do a remake. You know, I did a 10-year remaster, so to speak, of Rolling. And that's doing very well. So I did new music, added some footage, pretty much the same thing, but, you know, gussied it up a little bit. A few new pieces, but not too much. I mean, we could do something like that, too.
We got to figure that out. Yeah. Especially because, like, a lot of that original footage...
We didn't have
to after the fact, which would really give...
I mean, I used some of it in White Powder Black Power, but you get a lot of it.
It's a lot of it, so you get a chance really to hear Eddie Jackson, R.I.P.
And we got that other footage just from that era, and it would be cool even to just really suck people, but give people more of that ambiance, almost like a fictional movie, because we have so much footage, you know, just of the commercials of that era and the other footage we got from the archival footage. Of just the... feeling, you know, stress. I think we got Peterson being interviewed for a second.
Do it.
Stress.
Really? Possibly?
I think so.
Somewhat. I think it's him.
Wow.
You got Cockrell?
I know we got some Kenny Cockrell stuff because Haywood Brown, when we were down there doing the research, that whole Haywood Brown situation was
going on. Because that's what we were, I was, okay, so here's a Detroit story. People like, why Detroit is different. So this ties into Cockrell, but it's not about drugs. But so the case that, this was before, when was the Haywood Brown case? It was like 77 or
73.
Something? Okay, so this case happened right before it.
Yeah.
This is what made Cockrell. This happened before Haywood Brown. So there was a black auto worker, James Johnson. He worked at a Chrysler plant. Mm-hmm. One day he gets into argument with the foreman, etc. He murders three of his co-workers who, I don't per se think he murdered them because they were white, but they were three white men. So think about 19... I can't imagine a black man killing three white men at work right now and having least, a defense.
Least of all, this is 73.
It shows you what's, the change in political power here. So you had Ken Cockrell, the black lawyer, and Mel Ravitz, Jewish lawyer. They defend the guy on the grounds of temporary insanity and say that the working conditions in the plant, for all of you that have been trained to think unions are bad and those in Detroit, well, young people don't even know what a union is, but for those of us, more like our age or older, those people in Detroit, they got free money and the plants were easy. Sure, in an industry with millions of jobs where there's some people sitting in the corner not working, yeah, but that's anything. But in general, the amount of industrial accidents, of deaths at this plant James Johnson was working at, you could get a tip of your finger cut off and be put back to work the same day. There was several people that had died, like a black woman who was a janitor, something fell on her and hit her leg or something. They were like, oh no, you got to come back to work tomorrow in a wheelchair for light duty. And her leg developed something with the veins, thrombosis, whatever. She died. And the conveyor belts overhead, they didn't have screens, so parts would fall off and hit people in the head. And the entire factory was covered in a 1-inch like puddle of oil.
Wow.
So they walked the jury through here and they described James Johnson's job, which was he had to wear asbestos mittens and pull brake pads out of like a 180 degree oven. And he had finally been moved off that job or something, and the white foreman, and like all the foremen were white, put a white guy on some other easier job that it was James Johnson's turn to get. Started arguing, he snapped, and he went out, got a rifle, came back in, killed three people. So a bunch of the co-workers testified, including a bunch of white co-workers who were the friends of the people he actually killed, that said, yeah, that place will make you crazy. And they found him not guilty by reason of insanity. And now here's the brilliance of Ravitz and Ken Cockrell. So he gets found not guilty by reason of insanity, but it's murder, so you're put into the asylum, right? Mm-hmm. So then they immediately went and got for his attorney to get him out, because you go to the asylum for crazy, and then if you can prove you're no longer crazy, you get out.
Right.
So they went and got the police union's legal rep or something, the lawyer for the Detroit police, and hired him to be Johnson's get out of crazy house
pass.
And he won that. So Johnson got, I don't know if it's right out, but pretty damn soon. So he pretty much did it. I don't know, he sunk into obscurity. I don't know what happened, but so that was the, I can't imagine that in a city today that I can't imagine.
I can't imagine a black man.
I can't hardly imagine anybody doing it, much less black. I mean, today, 50 years later. So that was Detroit. Mind you, this is on the heels of the 1969 shooting. Republic of New Africa kills a white Detroit police officer in Aretha Franklin's father's church and gets off on that.
And founder of Republic of New Africa.
Of Milton Henry.
Milton Henry.
Was your dad and Eddie's attorney.
Guy who we really need to do some work on, too. Because
so there's this whole melange of truly, like, black power.
Black power.
All the way up and down. So it's, a different, a very unique time and place, which it doesn't even exist now.
No, I mean, no, you know. No, and just on that note, without getting off into it, like you can't, I can't even imagine today there being such a group as the Republic of New Africa.
No.
Or even that kind of conversation in our community about how watered down
anything.
Everything.
The empowerment now is, oh, Jay-Z has 27 Rolls Royces.
That's it.
So, you know, I'm empowered.
Right. They were asking for five states. They were asking for the five Confederate states of the Union.
Yeah.
To be a part of their thing.
Yeah.
So it's been a good year for you, though, man, right? 2021 been good. 2021 been good. 2021's been good.
Yeah, financially, you know, socially, obviously, because of COVID, but that's what everybody is.
Right.
Less than optimal. But as far as business and streaming video business, been best one yet.
Right? And on that, when we started, there was no such thing
as streaming. Man, listen, me and you were meeting people, and I had been doing it before, meeting people at gas stations. And when these rappers talk about the trenches.
Press play, baby. Northland.
I was glad to be going to Northland. Try going to Glendale and Hamilton, Malcolm X Boulevard to pick up $60. Chantiniques
was a good account.
Man, they owe me about $100. They can have it. If I never have to set foot on Van Dyke and Harper again, I'll be a happy man.
But that was the Chitlin' Circuit.
But that was where our money was.
That's where the Chitlin'.
Boy, they were killing us with the bootlegging. But I remember I was telling you, I was like, man, the video on demand is going to come. It's going to come.
Our timing was just a touch off. I mean, no one could see the future.
Well, no, I mean, we make it, because we make the money now.
It came back to us.
Yeah.
But the bootleg man
doubled
what we made. We did good.
He ain't making no money now, though.
Unfortunately, the bootleg man now, though, make you laugh, make you cry.
Yeah, no, but that intellectual property that we own and that brand we built, like he just said, you could right now, if you were hard up for some money, you could go have a little event somewhere and sell a few books and sell a few DVDs and get a few views and maybe sign a few autographs and pick up a couple bucks.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. You know, what we've done in the city again now, bringing that story back to life, you know, it's been...
And you guys did have face recognition amongst a certain branch of the criminal elite, but now you have... face recognition for being entrepreneurs that inspire people. And you're, I'm not saying this wink wink, you are a long time legitimate entrepreneur and you inspire, you know, I'm sure a lot of young or not even young, middle aged people in Detroit to do their thing, they say.
Yeah, man. Yeah. On that, just a complete side note, but I got to give her a shout out. I was just watching, they had the Revolt Summit that they do, Revolt TV. Had their thing down in Atlanta, and I saw my cousin. Have to get on your other channel, Melissa Butler, the Lip Bar. So shout out to her.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, my protege. Yeah, she's bigger than me now. I mean, she's huge.
Congratulations.
She's
doing, so that's doing really well.
She's doing really well.
Yeah. Good for her.
And speaking on when you said inspire people, so yeah, it does me well. So many people that have worked for us over the years, man, are doing their own things.
Yeah, you got
four men.
Yeah, you got Dawood Shabazz, the abstract artist.
Oh,
banging. He just got a commission to do 50 pieces.
Oh, that was one of your people?
Yeah, that's one of our guys.
Is he going to do NFTs?
He should. You got a school.
We need to do NFTs.
We need to put that
together. And I got the entertainment lawyer, but I know all the NFT stuff. Matter of fact, me and him are shooting some stuff for my NFTs.
See, we're in the NFT factory where anybody and anyone who has content and wants to come.
Yeah, that's one of the things we're doing in LA, NFT factory.
So on that note, right? So I'm listening to, it was actually some good content that they had on that Revolt thing. And so one of the smarter guys that was on one of the panels was talking about the NFT.
Non-fungible token.
And
related to blockchain, cryptocurrency.
And that the reality that in this world that we live in now, if you don't have some exposure to crypto, if you don't have some exposure,
gotta be a little part of your portfolio. What exactly is going to happen is unclear, but the technology's here. Now, is it going to be Ethereum? Is it going to be Bitcoin? Well, sure, there's risk, but like you need to be engaging because that metaverse thing they just announced,
which is some new shit that I just heard about.
That's connected. Facebook changed its name legally to Meta.
To Meta. So it is some sea changes going on out here, fam.
So yeah, you need to at least be abreast of what's going on with the underlying technology is blockchain. So NFTs live on the blockchain. Cryptocurrency lives on the blockchain. Blockchain is just open ledger. Imagine a world. Well, this is what's going on. It's like me and you are doing business,
right,
exchanging a good or service or money or whatever, and we can each look at each other's ledger book to trace the money or the object all the way back to its inception so there can never be any fraud.
It's a whole new bag out here, man. It's a new bag to be had out here.
The world is
changing rapidly.
That's kind of frightening.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean.
But you better try to keep up with it.
Yeah, I mean, well, or, you know, get to the bag quick enough so I can just go off to the island, which has always been the plan from the beginning. But in the meantime and in between time, this thing is here now, though.
Yes.
No, it's big.
This thing is here now.
Every week I see somebody coming with a new NFT.
Oh, it's happening. But well, in LA, there's people got NFT houses.
Wow.
Like where they're just doing NFTs.
I didn't know about it till Dame and Jay had that little legal dispute about reasonable doubt.
Well, right now, Quentin Tarantino is being sued by Miramax because he just tried to release release NFTs of the script and notes of his for Pulp Fiction, unused scenes, different things associated with Pulp Fiction. And Miramax is saying, well, no, that's our, you're the director and the writer, but we own the movie. So that's probably, I'm sure, going to go to the Supreme Court because this is new law. Yeah. NFT didn't exist. So
it's unsettled
law.
So he's saying it was not your intellectual
because
property.
It didn't come out.
It was just my notes.
Right. Pulp Fiction came out. These are ideas I had for it. I guess that'll be his defense. So,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So in 2021, we did lose a few icons in this year, right?
Yeah. Always do.
Yeah, it is the nature of this thing. You had DMX.
Yeah, X.
Render, were you a DMX fan?
Yeah, I grew up with him, like slightly. He was something my big brother used to play all the time. Okay. So you know,
he's big in our day.
Yeah.
And that guy had two number one albums released in the same year.
Which
in
is
the same 12-month period. Yeah, no, I mean, no one does that. DMX was big.
Dark and Hell is
DMX
high.
What? DMX was bigger than Jay-Z. See, Jay-Z was always the second biggest.
Yep.
Like, right, I mean, it was Eminem, there was 50 Cent, there was DMX. Jay-Z was always second to one of them.
But he just was always
outlasted
there.
He outlasted him. And he was always there. He was always second.
Yeah.
And then he outlasted him. Well, not Eminem, but. Yeah. So at the end of the day, because him and Eminem are
the two
kings of hip hop. I mean, just in terms of import, whether you like him or not.
On a side note, what did I just hear about another content from our world coming out? They're supposed to be working on a Supreme McGriff story. I know you did some stuff.
I wouldn't know who, 50 Cent or somebody.
Somebody else.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, they're going to do with black crime what went on with mafia stuff. We'll have a period of 10 years and we'll just get black gangsters from the 80s shoved down our throat.
Well, I'm hoping.
We got to make sure we get in on that.
Well, we got the best story. Let's say we got one outside.
There's some music outside.
Oh, okay. Detroit, downtown Detroit. Live. Got shit popping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's our turn.
Yeah, we do.
We gotta keep at it.
Just some shout out to James Cooper Pep. We just talked to him.
Go buy his book.
Bound by Honor, Torn by Greed. Great book.
Available on Amazon.
Yeah. So, you know, another YBI, guy would just.
You might have heard him mention in the BMF, the YBI Young Boys Incorporated. Well,
this guy, James Cooper, there when it began. Another one, I'm going to put you guys out there to draw you out. I was just talking to Five, Big Steve, Fat
Big
Steve,
50,
everybody
baby.
Know 50. Mm-hmm. You know, another just really original. His life, what those guys saw.
They was millionaires as teenagers.
Teenagers.
In the early 80s when $1 million meant
for real,
something.
Right. They was making more money than Jordan. And like that, like. They,
for real.
Like in 83, 84, they were making more money than Michael Jordan.
Yep.
And they were not even 21 years old.
Oh. Wow.
And to really unpack that, because, you know, I moved to New York in 87. There were some young guys getting some money, but nothing like with this phenomenon that had happened in Detroit with YBI.
Well, that probably was an outgrowth that we were talking about, you know, the power, the political power, and we were saying, you know, the black man could kill three white men and cockerel and rabbits and a black mayor. Well, probably only in a city
with a black mayor
could, and you know, could those even criminals, not promoting criminal activity, but conceptualize, hey, we can, I'm a 19-year-old black man, I can run this town too.
Yeah.
I can make millions and have lawyers and bribe judges
and
kill people in broad daylight and get away with it. And again, not promoting that, but you know, another level of imagination.
The
conception of what they could do, even on the negative side.
On the negative side, there was a sense of empowerment.
Yep.
And I think every, assuredly, African-American of my age and a little bit older, when you get out and you travel, we Detroiters do have a little different attitude than the sense of empowerment and the sense that it ain't nothing we ain't supposed to be able to do if we want to do it. That is not a common thing in America.
Oh, I've had the experience being in L.A. and, you know, I've been known to enjoy the company of African-Americans. The people in L.A., it's almost sometimes it's like, are these the same people from Detroit?
No, it's a different, it's a different, it's a different animal. So yeah, Pep, 5, y'all need to get out here. We need to do some things in 2022. You guys' story for real, needs to be told.
By you, because listen, I'm going to tell you something. The YBI story is going to get told, because now it's been launched. See, all the Hollywood stuff just runs off of familiarity and branding. That's why they like to put out, oh, you're the best-selling science fiction or fantasy series, it's going to be a movie.
Yep.
Oh, you were in the news cycle, you were on the front page of the paper sometime, and now you already have a name recognition.
And
so now that it's been being mentioned in the BMF thing, which is popular, there's going to be some level of a YBI story. Somebody going to do it.
5, shout out to
Chase. They're going to tell it for you if you don't get involved.
Oh, yeah, let me add in. I was talking to, we were actually all together a couple months ago. Me, 5, Tracy, a.k.a. Jabba the Hutt, shout out. Scotty D.
Reagan Allen.
Reagan wasn't there, but I did talk to Reagan. Reagan got some things going. Yeah, I mean
that Reaganomics interview.
Reagan, you hear that? Yeah. We got it's going down. But no, that YBI, something is going to happen with that YBI thing. You got the BMF series starts off with the Meech character saying, "When we grew up, we wanted to be like YBI."
Yeah,
and of course from here in the Motown Mafia camp, you can't understand YBI
without
understanding what happened with the Motown Mafia, Eddie Jackson, Courtney Brown situation.
This town makes some good criminal brand names.
Just a unique city. Again, I think that whole thing you were saying of why Detroit has such a disproportionate amount of large-scaled hustlers.
You know, they can dream it.
They can.
You got to be able to dream it before you can achieve it.
And it was the one of few cities where a black man having a lot of money.
Motown was here.
Motown.
Sort of like how Atlanta became, where you could ride around in something nice. You could have a nice house on you. Maybe you're a criminal. Maybe you weren't.
Right.
And even if you were, so what? Who was going to do something? But it didn't mean you were going to just get it taken from you or, you know,
because
harassed.
Like, on that note, as much as Meech was balling out of control down there, he didn't stick out.
Not that much. So a casual observer can be like, oh, maybe that's a rapper. Maybe that's an athlete.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because prior to him getting there, people like Jermaine Dupri were already riding around town in drop-top Bentleys with do-rags on their head.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like,
Unheard of.
Unlike if you were in Cleveland.
Yeah. So the only place you could really do it, Detroit, Atlanta, of course, New York, just because it's so big. L.A. sort of, but L.A. is weird because you can kind of figure out who people, you know. It's like, are you in the entertainment industry? If not, who the hell are you?
You're not an athlete or entertainer.
Yeah, they can figure out who you are, kind of. There's a lot of people riding around with stuff, but you can figure out who they are.
The guy from The Wire, one of our favorite shows, Lou.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Michael K. Williams.
Fentanyl.
You did killed Omar.
It's 20, 21 story, yeah.
What do you say? What was the number you said about? We were talking off camera about the.
This oh, was what is 100,000 overdose deaths in the United States, 2020, and I'm sure it'll be more in 2021, which is the record higher than anything in the 80s, 90s. Bulk of them from opioids, bulk of that from fentanyl, but lots from cocaine, some from meth. I mean,
this is there still all a war on drugs? Is there still a war on drugs?
You kind of got it. You got to want to get caught, or you got to be doing some real. Hey, we make $100,000 a day in the South Bronx. Come arrest us. But I mean, it doesn't seem the war. Well, there was a war on violence and guns, but even that seemed to go away during 2020. They better be careful with that. That they let the liberal college people come with that defund the police, and certainly the police do lots of bad stuff, but there's some rough people running around, and if there's no check and balance at all, I mean, homicide was up 30% in 2020 for the whole country. That's unheard of.
The Kingpin's kid, I say we need more police.
Yeah.
Now, for real.
Because you want the real criminals, like professional criminal, not, you know, but like just anybody feeling like, oh, I can go outside with a gun and some drugs. And L.A., man, you can smoke meth and shoot heroin on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And the restaurants are going to pull up and ask you what you want, what free food you want. They come give you free Skid Row there. They give them free haircuts. On probation day, the police come and set up trailers with probation and parole officers so those people don't have to get on the bus to go nowhere. They can check in right there in Skid Row.
Wow.
They make it so easy for them.
Wow. Yeah, so now society, the liberals are out of control. We do not need to defund the police. And I ain't saying that.
Need to make them do their job right. They do lots of bad stuff.
They need to do that. But for people out there doing whatever they do, you probably should want to think about doing something different. But if you is doing what you're going to do, more police ain't going to be the problem because the police don't care what you're doing on the block if you ain't killing nobody.
Yeah, right.
To be honest. Right, yeah. I mean,
police is for these crackheads stealing. Like you
or the psychopaths.
Here's the rule if you get to use drugs. If you can do it without causing nobody else any problems, I guess it's okay.
No one cares.
But if you're out stealing, you abandon your child to the state.
That's when it gets off.
You don't
off
get to use drugs. You don't get to drink no vodka. None of the above.
That's when it gets off.
None of the above.
On that, so the most latest tragedy from the urban street sphere, the death of young Dolph.
I actually liked him. Man, I did a story about it. So, what's interesting, Render here kind of pieced it together. Well, he found this girl on, appears to be a girl on Instagram in Memphis. She went through all these guys' IGs and found, here's the same car in the picture with these two. Here's this guy with this guy. Here's this guy in front of this house where they picked up this car. And you can kind of, in the suspects in that, they already starting to get picked up. And they appear to be people that had been associated with Dolph's record label, PRE, and maybe also playing both sides of the fence with Gotti's CMG, but there's no evidence as of now that Gotti had anything to do with it.
I would doubt it, actually.
Me too.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, I would doubt that.
But you know, these guys are crash test dummy wind-up dolls. I mean, just like it's like with Nipsey. Is it possible that someone wanted to get rid of Nipsey and just went around and whispered in the ear of four or five people who he knew were loose cannons, Nipsey's something negative, and he knew that one of them one day was going to cross paths and something was going to happen. And that way there's no conspiracy. I didn't tell you, hey, Courtney, go kill Render. I just know you're an idiot with a gun. And I can say, Render been talking about it. And I know you're going to cross paths with him one day.
And there we go.
Because he hang around the hood too comfortable.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing with it.
So could that have been what happened with them? Sure. Could it have just been, man, them guys, them young guys, clout, the attention.
I guess I'm old school like that.
But there were always people that, though, people always did that, you know, the baby face Nelsons, and there was always people that did things. They didn't have the word clout, But there was always people that did stuff. Remember, remember people growing up? There was the people that would stick somebody up on the corner in front of everybody so you would know he was the stick-up man. Like, that always existed.
Yeah, yeah, to a certain, yes. I mean, I guess idiots are not new.
Gangstar.
Well, some people get into crime for attention.
Get a rep.
Just to get a rep?
Just to get a rep. Gangstar 93.
Yeah, just to get a rep. Yeah, that's right. That's one of my favorite rap songs. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of things with a lot of these men that claim to be attracted to other men. I just think that by acting flamboyant and wearing women's clothes in public, they get attention. Because I look at a lot of them and be like, you don't have sex, man. Who's the one? Because they don't even... There's no sexual vibe. It's just a bunch of guys in women's clothes acting crazy to get attention. I think they're just crazy.
It is some different times. But this thing with me, I mean, Dolph a millionaire. He did.
I like Dolph. I like Dolph.
Young black millionaires killing each other just disturbs me. Yes, going back to like the YBI era, even back in Pop in them days, the point of the game used to be we come from economically repressive situations, from situations where, in theory, we ain't have a whole lot of options to do other shit. So we go get a bag. We try to get to the bag. You get it. Now we got Benzes. Now we got gold. Now we got jewelry. Now we got women. Now we got houses. What the fuck is we still trying to kill each other for?
Well, I think that with these rappers, so much of their marketing is based on selling this idea or reality that they're still in this violent environment, and if they disconnect from it too much,
they'll lose the
yeah, juice. And then that's where they're at. I mean, they're doing shows and stuff and shooting videos in all these places, so you know, it's hard for them to disconnect. They can't just, you know,
that transition to being, I'm just an entertainer, I didn't got my money, you know, sorry, I was just joking. I was just joking.
Well, here, on that note, well, so you asked me about big stories I did, so Rick Ross.
Well, let me interject about this. Okay. See, like,
there you go, back to Ross.
As a young man, like, the internet for young people, like, it's dangerous. Because, like, Twitter talking, all that type of shit, like,
it means something.
That's real smoke. That's real beef.
Yeah.
Like, to an old cat like you, you laugh some shit off. Like, if I see a motherfucker, I'll probably say something, but it's not. Niggas will make it their mission to come find you.
Because of some shit you said on the internet.
Yeah, you say something. Because
some shit they read on their phone, and they could just press the button and put it down and ignore that shit, go on about their day and their life. But they willing to throw their life away over just what they see.
Yeah, that is.
Their friends and men, family are saying.
But it's deeper than that. Men and women.
Yeah. The women are bad.
Women especially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, now I do deal with some younger females, and I am fascinated.
In what capacity?
Mentorship, career guy, career.
Promoting entrepreneurship among women.
And
proud of you.
And always about circulating the black dollar.
Yes, I'm proud of you.
I'm always about that, you know that.
Proud
right?
of you, Gordon.
You know, it's going to go more than
great man.
All I can for my people.
Hero.
You know, to one much is given, much is required.
That's right.
But what you were saying, it is true, and I think people my generation just don't get that. I mean, If we would have went and tried to hurt everybody who talked crazy to us or who we heard some street shit, did you know, Courtney, you know, this guy said this, that,
but
and the third.
You couldn't hear that much of it because there wasn't social media posts.
No, it would have been your man would catch you at the bar and be like, man, you know I was over there in the project. You know they talking real. And then you just be like, man,
you see,
let them talk crazy.
This device. To y'all, this device doesn't mean that much. It's just something you have in your pocket that you may or may not have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To the younger generation, they didn't know a life without a smartphone.
Yep. That's right.
And that's a direct lifeline.
If you're like, 25,
you see these
those
babies
things,
at the mall,
in
the stroller. The baby in the stroller can't even walk, but they can
touch that.
This
oh,
shit.
Yeah, my godchildren are much, they know more about my notes than I do. Yep. So. It is, that's deep, and I don't know, society never dealt with it before.
It's like...
like that verbal bullying thing they be talking about with the phones.
I went to college to learn how to program applications and video games and all that type of stuff. Right. So, like, it's deeper than just you pressing some buttons on the screen and seeing some flashy graphics. It's about human psychology. Like, they're tapping into, like, operant conditioning and different things of that nature. Like,
some pressing emotional buttons. That's
So, literally, people can be motivated to violent reaction.
And everyone's able to put in their face, hey, I'm more successful than you. Because that's a lot of what the rapper thing is.
Yeah.
Look at my new diamonds. Look at this. Look at, oh, and they really... It's one thing to theoretically know, like, oh, so-and-so's doing better than me, and he got the girl I wanted, and blah, blah, blah. But, oh, I got to see him every day. Every time I open my phone, is the guy I don't like with the girl I wanted?
Yeah.
Bitter pill to swallow.
Wow. The world's changed, Luke.
And he just parked his car in the ghetto, and he's sauntering around? And I've killed people before?
For less reasons.
We can ride over there and machine gun right now? Oh, well,
I got a little problem.
But where's the consequence? Like, they going to catch the clowns who killed Dolph. They going to catch him.
No, but them guys already.
No, they're basically talking about how they did it.
They mentally set up to go to jail. Like, they out here doing, they know they dying or going to jail anyways. Might as well be for something exciting. The guy that killed Blade is walking around Michigan State Prison with tombstones on his back with the name everybody he killed.
You gotta be kidding me.
Mm-mm. Uh-huh. That's facts.
That's about right.
No, that's facts. That tombstone with Darnell Lindsay written on it on his back.
The world's gone mad.
World
gone mad, ladies and gentlemen. We're Big Boss trying to bring back some reality. Young fam, nephew, it's a better way. Get the bag. It's a world full of beautiful women. It's a world full of beautiful sunsets. It's lobsters and steaks to be had. It is a good life to be had out there. And maybe that's what just disturbs me, that so many of my young people just seem like they are clueless.
But they are.
The value of life.
They haven't been exposed to, even if you give them some money. I always think back to reading about the Chambers brothers at the peak when they were making, you know, $200,000 a day in the mid-80s, they would ride around Belle Isle in a conversion van eating McDonald's. Because they just couldn't think of anything else to do. They had never been exposed.
You mean nobody said, fellas, let's go get a private jet and go to Saint-Tropez?
Yeah, let's fly to Europe and buy artwork. Like, there's just no one in there anywhere. And they were smart. They're like natively smart.
Maybe let's go to Senegal and buy 10% of a country. And each of us have a harem of 100.
They don't even know that. What does that even mean? There, what's Senegal? What's a passport? Oh. No, let's buy 12 Trans Ams and drive back to Arkansas and show them off.
We got enough money to where we will buy heads of state. The president of Gambia, the president of Senegal will be.
Who would know? How would they know? They went to public school in Arkansas. Them people ain't probably teach them to read. They didn't. When Billy Joe came up here, they still had an outhouse in Arkansas.
No, it's real. It's real.
Having a bathroom, having a flush toilet was a dream.
No, I know. I know it's real, and I'll be blunt. You know, the reason why I stayed. Thank God, obviously how I grew up, and Pac and them had already hit their lick. So when all that madness was like going on, and anybody who know me from back then, Pep and Matavian, I was like, guys, all the money we getting, I am going to find me some pretty young ladies, and I'm going to check into a penthouse or to a 5-star hotel.
Nice girls.
Go to New York.
But you didn't grow up in a violent household. Because you weren't into that. Some people are into it. I mean, I had a phase of like, no, like, violence is fun. You know, when you grow up with violence, when you've been seeing it in your household, when it's been being done to you, well, you get of age where you're in a position where you're capable of hurting others. You may want to.
No, as you spoke, we gave out way more passes. You met my pop. You know, pop, because my mom's side of the family is very familiar with violence. And pops, and they would always be like they owe us money, or they said something. You heard what they said about us, right? They say we soft. They say this. We gonna go over there, and pops will be like, "Give them niggas a pass." Pops gave out more passes than Tom Brady. You know, all he did was give out passes because he was like, "What?
Well, they not gonna do them. People ain't got no car.
Right?
They not gonna come to where you at and kill you." So.
Or to quote Eddie, the fat man used to say, if we kill every nigga that talks stupid, the graveyard ain't got enough room for
it. And who are you going to sell the drugs to?
And what you got to learn that it ain't.
They don't even mean it. Them people just frustrated.
All right, but get back. You're about to say something about Rick the Boss, Rosie Rose.
Oh, yeah, Rick Ross. So, speaking of segueing, transitioning. Not that Rick Ross was transitioning from being a real criminal, because he wasn't, but when he... So I did a story about there was a huge GD indictment in the South. So they took down and gave like 40 years to what they referred to as the head of the GDs in Tennessee, Georgia, and South Carolina or something. And... okay, do you remember when the song "I Feel Like Big Meech Larry Hoover" came out?
Yeah, of course.
And they were on Rick Ross's head.
Right.
And like World Star Hip Hop played all these GDs from different states, sent in videos where there would be like 100 of them, and they'd be like, "GD folk," and like, "Rick Ross, you can't come to this state." Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that drama. Yeah.
So those the guys that were the ones running those videos, they the ones that got the 40 years. So, listen to this. So, this was my premise in my Rick Ross story. I don't know that Rick Ross told, but the incident... So, this incident was mentioned in all their indictments. Of course, there were other murders and drugs, and I'm not... But that at the Lowe's Hotel in Miami, that these three guys approached Rick Ross about that song. Well, how would anyone know? Like, there was no shootout. They didn't beat him up. It was some type of conversation. How would anyone know that happened? And it was in the indictment.
Wow.
So that builds a pattern of, you can't just say, oh yeah, I'm a criminal in Tennessee and I sold some drugs. No. You combined with two other leaders of a gang from different states and went to a whole nother state, Miami, to pressure a musical act about what song he said and attempt to extort him. Well, that's organized crime for sure.
That is a RICO charge.
Yeah, and that was part of... So Rick, and that probably, Rick Ross was in the midst of a big tour when that happened, and he stopped the tour, and he's never done a big tour since then.
He's done well for himself, though.
Well, it may have forced him
to focus on really, his legitimate.
Right, to do other, and say, fuck touring.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he does concerts here and there, but not much. Mm. But he stopped, he cut down a tour, but then I thought more about it, and I say this in the story. I say, well, when you... Who are Rick Ross's at that level? If you're getting Wingstop, you know, you're getting franchises of restaurants. Mm-hmm. If you're doing big concerts at concert venues, well, what are concert venues? They're the NHL team, the NBA team. Well, these are things you're in business with
He moving in you're some in real crowds with some
rich
real
white men to even real, be doing
the level business he
be doing those concert tours.
Yeah,
so. You think those guys are going to let their business partner
suffer at the hands
of these criminals?
Do you think those guys got where they got because letting some street guys tell them what they can do and what they ain't going to do? It don't work like
that. They stopped them from having a tour, but I think
it may have ended up
choose like, okay, I'm not. Let me quit playing around.
Yeah, focus on them.
Because these guys will, you know, they the real deal.
Yeah, and he rich.
Yeah, like
I mean, you'd be like, I mean, I'd give them this much credit.
And then some people, security can't protect you. I mean, unless you're gonna be with the police.
Not from them kind of.
No, them. Unless you're with the police.
If they want you.
Yeah, they gonna get at you.
I mean, yeah.
Because jail is part. Law of prison terms is part of what
they already signed up.
Yeah, they already signed up for that.
So, Crazy.
What about Jay Prince getting Drake?
Let me tell you something. I was in Chicago.
Help me out on that story. What happened?
So, yeah. Drake and Kanye are beefing. Over Kim Kardashian. I mean, Kanye's crazy, but whatever the case may be.
Not black millionaire problems, black billionaire problems.
No, they're beefing.
Okay, Kanye.
So, when that started a couple months ago, I was in Chicago with some gentlemen of note, I'll just say that.
Okay.
Yeah. And my man told me, he said, watch. He said, the old man gonna call Jay Prince, and he's gonna call Drake and Kanye, and he's gonna have them do a benefit concert called Free Larry Hoover, and they're gonna donate the proceeds, and that's just what's going on right
that's
now.
That's just what's happening right now.
He told me about that months ago.
Because Jay Prince is cool. with Hoover, right?
And Drake. And then kind
of Yeezy, and the Chicago.
Old man, and the old man, Larry Hoover, can tell
Kanye. Kanye play nice with this.
Oh.
Yeah. And they got a free Hoover concert.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at him.
But he told me that was going to happen. So those guys in Chicago.
And the beef is now magically.
Oh, it's alleviated.
The beef has been.
The guys in Chicago are sophisticated, organized, highly intelligent.
The look on Kanye's face in that picture I saw with Jay Prince. It was going down.
In Atlanta, my chief of security was a former employee of the old man.
Ah.
Right? And I was, to be honest, I was naive. You know? Mm-hmm.
Shout
out to 6ix9ine. Right. You know, big boy out there. Uh-huh. Yeah. But like, cause I was having some security issues when I brought in 6ix9ine.
No more security.
Yeah. He was like, leave the door open at night, nigga. They know.
Yeah.
They know. They know. They know. But when you were talking about those guys, some of them are sophisticated. So through that connection, he would introduce me to people, and they would be like Kansas City in real estate.
Yeah, but they
Arizona,
were. But they
Arizona.
But they were
Arizona doing. But
and they were business. They were businessmen.
Real businessmen. But he was like, he was like, that's us.
Yeah, yep.
And I was like,
Because
I'm thinking they all just on the corner.
These
guys,
they're much more like a mafia.
For real.
They don't even say they're... Listen, when you even talking to them and you know them and it's just y'all sitting at the table, they don't even say the name of the organization.
I would have never knew if not from this. But like you said, these guys were deeply involved with the old man. But they were doing real estate projects in Arizona.
Yeah, big really. Oh, yeah.
Big moves in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
But it all
went
back. So that's a fascinating situation there. So all gangs ain't created equal. All gangs.
Them ain't even gangs.
That's an organization.
Yep.
It's just, that's just.
Now, you know what the kids are doing, but they don't have no. There's a separate. Like, what those young guys are doing is not even. I mean, a lot of money's being made off the rack, but I don't think it has much connection to the older people. But realistically, if you're 19, growing up in them areas, you're going to look at those older guys and be like, well, y'all might be sophisticated in this, that, now, but y'all the ones that are selling my mother drugs, and you the ones that made my neighborhood dangerous. I don't, you know, that whole OG thing, young guys don't respect. And
no, them days.
Maybe they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. I mean, times changed. I mean, I can look back and say, it depends on what you want to respect or what your OG is telling you. If he's trying to breathe on you to tell you, look.
But if your OG got into the position he's in by raping and pillaging, and now is going to tell you, well, you shouldn't do that. Like United, on a bigger level, it's like United. It's why a lot of countries won't, like the countries that are causing the most pollution, China and India, which are big countries, which are in their growth phase.
Right, you're not going
to... Well, United States, you can afford to put scrubbers on your coal plant, but if we do, it's not suddenly our plant isn't profitable. You got to grow by degrading the environment. Well, we need to get our chance, or you're going to pay for it.
That is the...
it's similar. Only fair, but, you know, it causes problems. World is a complicated place.
World's a complicated place.
I don't know if it's just, that's another story.
The block's a complicated place.
The block's complicated enough, much less global geopolitics.
Right, but the block is suffering from the disintegration of the family.
Man,
more so.
That's why the
OG
there ain't
message,
no family.
The OG message is lost because
there is no family.
Really, it ain't no OGs. Talking.
No.
Nobody's...
They're gone.
Yeah.
Because you can't... Well, to go back to, like, the Dolphin stuff, like, the people that are left in the... Like, there's less, like, bad ghetto areas. There's not that many left, but they're worse than ever. There's no one normal. In, like, a bad neighborhood and urban, you know, there's no nothing normal going on.
Right.
Like, there's not... Like, everyone's hardcore. Everyone's a kid, child, mercenary, like... There ain't that many of those areas left, but they're bad. Like, it's an eerie feeling. They're not in even normal. No one even talks about jobs or school.
Well, you're of that age, Render.
What? Nobody even. Well, he's 31. I'm even talking about 10 younger. Years younger than that.
Yeah.
People talking about futures, their future, what the future plan is.
No. No.
I always say that's the problem. You gotta have a future. You got to believe you have a future.
Do guys in 24, they don't even talk about jobs.
At all. They just want to come up. Like, I'm going to get
the like, bag. They don't, nobody even the references bag is right a job. The corner,
and that's all you
and get what they're going to do when they get the bag?
Spend it.
Spend it on bullshit.
And then
on
you need clothes. And you
would need, they're going to spend it before they get
they're going to spend on clothes and drugs.
Then you would need a new bag, though. If your plan is when I get the bag, to blow the bag.
Ain't that how it works?
That's the cycle.
I get it to spend it.
I'm so
old. Run it up to fuck it up.
I'm so old. Mm. I remember when the thought was, we're going to get this big bag so that we don't have to do this no more.
Oh. But they can't. But you had something you thought of that you could do with the bag. We're going to get a gas station. We're going to do it. Right. No one wants to work. They don't have the skills. They couldn't run a retail store, much less a website, if they wanted to. And they know that. So they know they're not, why even have the dream?
Yeah.
Them running a regular business is like me and you saying we're going to get some money and become NBA players. Like, it's not happening. They don't have the attention span. They don't have the basic skill. Like, listen, suburban kids can barely read and write and do math in their head, much less the products of these bad schools.
Oh, I you know, and I'm going to tell you.
Listen, these young white people are really what frighten me because they're the backbone of the country, realistically.
But the population.
They 75% of the population. Mm-hmm. So as a bunch of them become not shit and worthless, well, the country was created especially with black males already on the outside. So this country can, I mean, it's not good for the black males, but the country can function.
It's functioning.
It's set up to function without black males, you know.
Being in the mainstream.
Yeah. Right. It ain't set up to function for, you know, 35 million white males to be milling around on the corner
Oxy,
trying to get high.
Trying to
get high. Yeah, no. Nah. It can't withstand it. It's too many. That's scary. Whoever you care about as a human being, even beyond that, that's just logistically don't work.
Nah, it's fucked up. Country got a lot of problems. Streets got a lot of problems. Another just recent, Alpo Martinez. You guys kind of broke the story again. Shout out to your man Cavario. Oh. That was some good work you guys did on that. Spur of the moment.
He was up in New York, and you know, listen. So go check it out. It's Al Profit, Cavario, Alpo. I got it up, and I interviewed him on Zoom the morning, you know, like 6 hours after it happened. And Cavario knew Alpo since probably 13, and they didn't hustle together, but Cavario was doing was bigger than, he was part of something bigger than Alpo, and he used to try to calm Alpo down and blah, 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 but he had, when me and Cavario were trying to get an interview with Alpo maybe about two, three years ago, whatever, I mean, it was all a little drama. But he had a phone call, so he knows Alpo's other son, Gumby. And the night he said, man, I'm glad. He said, I got to New York and I was going to call Gumby just to say hi. And if I would have called him and his father got murdered a few hours later, I just know that people, for no real good reason other than some reputation from the past, it would have been people who thought I did, you know, Cavario talking.
Right.
Cavario, like, people would have thought he did it. He was like, luckily I didn't call him. It would have just seemed too weird.
Right. Coincidences are not good.
Hey, how's your dad? And then he pops up.
Right.
Dead.
For you guys from the other world, coincidences don't do well in the street.
No.
Like, you bring up somebody's name and then they get indicted. Dead. They get indicted or dead the next day.
Yeah,
it ain't good.
Yeah.
They'd be like,
what you was asking about?
Why was you asking about him the day before the case got? What you? Yeah, yeah. But that was the end of that paid in full circle story.
Well, no, because now it's fresh in the news cycle, so probably someone's trying to, you know, AZ's still alive, and these stories never die, even if all the people are dead. In fact, they like it better when the people are dead, because now you don't have any real people you got to deal with if you turn it into a movie or a show or a book or
something. Less people to pay. We got a post, I think, that's in the queue. I was talking about the smallness of the world, yeah. You know, and that when that was going on in 87, I had just moved to New York. You know, Pops is in the middle of his run out of the Bahamas. And I'd already caught some problems with the DEA down in Miami flying to the Bahamas.
They stole your money. We got a story about that on Al Private Channel.
Yes, my donation to the U.S. No, I didn't get that. U.S. Treasury never saw a dime of that money.
So agents Smith and...
they told, you know, when they took my money down there, right, they said, you know, bought a woman a new coat. Yeah, it's true, ladies and gentlemen. There are government, some of your tax dollars are going to agents who violate people's civil rights and take money from you know. But they were like, "You're not the only crook here." But so I moved to New York because I couldn't go down to the Bahamas, you know, to help the old man out with getting our money. These people were big; they had some people running some brokerage firms that were cleaning up the money. I know it's. What do our subscribers said, Courtney, when you talk about money laundering, you know you're losing 90% of your audience have no idea what you're talking about.
That's what you said.
Yes, yeah. But
you mean you don't wash it in the sink?
I'm not referring to putting money in detergent.
No Tide involved.
There is, get the fingerprints off.
There is sometimes people at certain levels that, because one day they want to justify where that money came from.
Only some real money can't just pop up buying a $3 million house.
It tends to lead to questions from the...
you can't put that in your aunt who was an LPN's name.
Main.
Like you idiots put your $100,000 cars.
So some people are sophisticated enough that they attempt to take that money that comes from the streets, funnel it through myriad of different situations, and it comes back out looking like legitimate money.
Earned
income. With taxes paid on it.
Oh, yeah.
Which then can allow you to go on and live your life because now at least that money is not under scrutiny of where it came from. So anyway, these guys wanted their money to be given to these bankers who would give them $1 million. They give you back $930,000. They take 70 and it came from Silverberg Construction Company as a consulting fee or advisory, whatever, however. But anyway, so the smallness of the world again, of the Don Diva circles, just bringing up shout out to Cavario again. Kevin Child's younger brother was at Columbia when I was hanging out there. And when he's telling me about...
This is 87?
This is an 87. And I'll never forget because he's wearing a Louis Vuitton full-length coat from Dapper Dan. Right? Walking around an Ivy League school. So I was like, your situation's a little bit different. Because when he met me, I was running around Columbia with a Gucci briefcase with $100,000 on it. And he was like, you're a little bit different too. So, but he's telling me the story about how his brother Kevin is telling him that he can't go back to the Bronx this year because they kidnapping people. Somebody just got kidnapped and got a finger cut off.
Yeah.
And so it made me say, you know what? And I didn't even know about at that point about Preacher and all the other madness that was really going on in Harlem. So I said to myself, I think I'm just hang out here on campus because it sounds like I don't need to let people know that, you know, we bringing in bricks for 13.5, and I'm often running around this city with $100,000 cash. All right. Now, it may not have worked out well for me. So indirectly, that madness of Mr. Martinez actually changed the whole approach of my years in New York. I would get more comfortable years later when I got older and I would play catch up with the Harlem nightlife scene. But yeah, it's crazy. It is. That was a crazy era in New York City that led to all of that. And again, I'm talking about young black millionaires and when shit just goes off the rails.
How's the safety level feel like in Detroit right now?
Well, down here where we're at?
No, I mean.
In general.
Yeah. In the neighborhoods, not.
I mean, I'm
same as
ever. I'm here. I'm from here, so you know. I know where to go, where not to go. Yeah.
But no, you get used. I mean, I go to whatever gas station I want in L.A., like here. Like,
no, you know not. You know, I mean, it's the
Detroit has that. Detroit. Cold. You got a cold.
I ain't saying that. You know, I guess, you know, this city's level of violence.
Disturbing.
Is disturbing.
It is.
And has been for a long time. Decades. In fact, the city is so violent, you almost everybody gives everybody a pass.
Yeah, because you don't ever anybody.
You don't know
You know, you know that everybody, if they won't do something, they got something. They homeboy, yeah, cousin, brother, yeah, somebody, yeah, will show up with a gun and shoot everybody.
Yeah, yeah, so there is, you know, that's for the, sure. This town is so hardcore like that that it actually almost is a stabilizing factor because you don't take anybody for granted in this town.
I don't talk regulars to nobody.
Nobody, because it can happen.
It will.
It will happen for real, for real. So I don't care. Everybody knows, no matter who you think you are in the streets here, we don't just all go around talking. We don't talk that stupid.
I'm from such and such street. No. I'm from blah, blah street.
It'll happen, man.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
Are you from Dexter or I'm from 7 Mile? Are you from 7 Mile or from Chalmers?
Shout out to 7 Mile.
Dexter, Chalmers, Spring Wells.
Love y'all.
Michigan, North End, all of the above.
So, this is your first time in the D, though, bro?
First time.
First, welcome to the D.
Appreciate
it. Axl Rose say, welcome to the jungle.
I've had him in good company so far. We're with one of his favorite rappers the other night. We're here with some retired gangsters.
Okay, well, you are in downtown. A good city for retired gangsters.
You know? Man, yeah. You're good to be in the company of Al Private. I'll keep you out of trouble.
Yeah, Al knows we're around this town. He's got a lot of Detroit's more infamous and notorious people on speed dial.
That's right. Yeah. For a good thing.
For a good thing.
Or at least not a bad thing.
For good things, but that's okay. Because they do still know it can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen. Who else we got? Shout out to Chino. Just saw cousin Chino.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
Good, good. Got to get him on the pod this year. Still doing his thing. Still doing his music, you know.
Yeah.
Still affiliated and associated. Mm-hmm. Still affiliated, yeah, fam, no still question. Doing what fam does. What else we got? You following the BMF series? Not yet.
I haven't watched it. I mean, I am putting up BMF content.
All right, always you got some. In fact, you did one of the early pieces on.
I interviewed. Well, I did a few months ago, and I hope to get with him again while I'm here. E.D. Boyd, that's the guy who ran the 50 Boys. So that's, you know, that whole first season is kind of about them getting started.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's hot. So, yeah, that's a good thing. You know, obviously, all his content created.
E.D. Boyd, Al Private, 50 Boys.
50 Boys, check that out. YouTube, yeah. That's good for the D. We're finally getting a little of the nation shine. You know, say so.
Why so we gotta keep our eye, be strategic. We gotta do our thing, but we keep talking in circles. We gotta lock some of these new projects down, Mr. CB.
We gotta do. It's happening. It's happening. For you get back out Hollywood, but I know you ain't from Hollywood. You from downtown.
Downtown, baby. I'm from Detroit.
Detroit. You from Detroit? From
Detroit made LA paid. That's what my Instagram.
Oh, there it is. Okay, there it is. You better ask somebody.
Better ask somebody. Better ask me twice.
If you don't know.
That's right.
When you don't know, you should ask somebody.
That's right.
And they can help you out. But that's hot. Now, we got to lock this down. I think we need to do both. I think we need to do something for the 10th anniversary. And then I think we need to go ahead and figure out.
Yeah, it's time for some original content.
You know, it's some shorts and some other stuff. You say you got your man.
Yeah.
On deck here, we got
he's still young and energetic.
Yeah, when I came in, you were working on a video.
Yeah,
I'm the workaholic.
He like, no, it, age, some he's, of the artists the age I was at. No, he's still having fun, and you know.
When I was 31, are you 31?
I'm 32, actually.
Oh, you don't know what I was doing at 32.
Involved a lot of money, a lot of late nights.
Oh, yeah.
Crystals, women.
That sounds like me. That sounds like a cameraman at 2021. This hip hop game, just brushing shoulders around all the people that I had to be around to do this for real. Like, man.
Well, you don't have a
decadent.
What did you tell? You said you had $1,000 a day habit.
What? When I was a kid. Oh shit! Nah, man. Well, fuck. I fucked up $250,000 in a bad 90 days. In 87. and I can be
women as drugs.
Drugs, women, and just
hanging out, hotel
a
rooms.
Fucked up bad peer group.
$250,000 in 87 is like $1 million, man.
It was $3,000 a day life.
$3,000 a day life.
Yeah.
So, I have some $1,000 days now, but life's more expensive now, and I'm doing business stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
my advice is
I do not say that to glorify, actually I say it as a cautionary tale, because
but you look so good and you're so well spoken.
I mean, the bag was right. 13.5. He's getting a 13.5.
ain't lying.
No, he's getting it. He's getting it.
Now, what did that break down to?
I mean,
what did a whip get put on there?
Nah. As Eddie Baby would say, straight drop.
So cooking it.
Put the whole 36 zips in there.
Come back 36?
36, maybe even plus a little bit.
Because you put a little baking soda in there?
Just a touch. God rest his soul. Fat Frank was doing his thing for us down in the project.
And so what would you cut, maybe, say, $1,200 off a zip? So 50 off a brick?
I'm going to say this with humility. I just looked at the big package. We netted 75 off of each brick.
Oh, so you cut 90?
Maybe. Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. We netted 72 off each one.
So you grossed 90. You net not with cost. I mean, you got 72.
Right.
And it cost you
13.5.
So you were getting 2,000 off an ounce.
When it's all said and done.
With no whip. Oh, so.
No whip. No whip.
Because, it was when the early 90s, midnight, when rocks got like absurdly big because it was so flooded.
Yeah, now it was a ton of shit in the streets. If people remember 87 in Detroit.
Because, I mean, at one point you could only cut 150 off an 8-ball.
No. This was 87 was
250.
87 was like still the 250. Gold, the golden era.
Right, 250, 300.
Because, you know, Pops never really liked even selling coke.
Yeah.
But.
He was only tripling instead of 15 times.
Yeah, he was like, this just still is good. It's good money, but. It ain't like putting a 20 on it.
Yeah.
You know?
But y'all got back to that later, too.
Real quick.
We'll say that for part two.
For part two. But so, no, mine on that, if you read, if you look at based on true story, Big Man on Campus.
Is that out?
That's out. That is out.
Oh, you never sent me a link. I got to promote it for you.
Yeah, Big Man on Campus got to do that.
When did that release? You had a release party, right?
We had released it at the book fair.
At the Hustle and Grind.
You need to do one at my spot in L.A.
No, we got
some of Detroit people out there.
We need to do
all
that.
The hustlers out there, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. About that era, and, you know, I ain't drank or smoke or did shit 20 years now.
And it ain't nothing to miss.
But I'm not a hypocrite, you know.
No, I'm saying, but you don't miss it. Like, I used to drink a lot. I drink a little bit now, but you don't miss it. If for all the people out there, if you're 25 or 35 or 21 and you never did a drug or drank anything, you ain't missing. It ain't the end of the world to do it, but you ain't missing nothing.
You ain't missing nothing. There is a...
It's not that big of a thrill.
There is a great, enjoyable life to be lived.
Yep.
That ain't that. And I'm going to tell you...
Slows you down from a bunch of other stuff.
What the real OGs talk about told me, like, this shit is to be sold, not used.
Yeah.
And for real, the ones who were little, when I was on my binge madness, they was like, you know, you behaving in some real sucker shit. Only suckers get high all the time, man. And for real, the old heads would tell me, you know better, Junior Brown. Only suckers get high all the time. We in this shit for the money, not to be no fucking dope fiends. Yeah. We doing this shit to get some bread, man. What the fuck's wrong with you? You know, so I know that shit nowadays that it's glorified.
Yeah, now that's disturbing.
But. The game ain't changed. That shit, if you gonna be involved in that shit, is to be sold, not used. Let somebody else. You know, the people at Heineken making Heineken, not to get drunk.
Addicted to the bag, for real.
Get addicted to living good, man.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg making Meta for you, not himself.
Making Meta, thank you. Yeah. No, you know, I know some big shot friends out there in Silicon Valley. They got no cyber days. Where they turn off the computers and turn off the phones in their house because they don't want their kids.
Yeah.
The people who run these companies,
they know
how
they got
it is.
No tech days.
Because they know.
Because they know what they're doing.
It's like the guys that if you sell drugs, you know you don't want your
kids to use
crack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not
all right. It's not all right. Right. The most hardcore people are the people who know what that to be like. They telling their kids, long before Nancy Reagan, they told me, just say no.
Doc Davis used to always try to get a half a Valium out of me. That would be a big deal for me. But like, I got one of these young ladies. I really put it down when I got one of them things. I'm like, one of them things mean a half a Valium? I was like, that was his. That was his wild.
That was his wild out of half a beat, yeah. And he was on the wild side.
Yeah. So we all need a little, you know, a little.
I mean, tobacco's got, you know, and
but yeah,
I got my tobacco. I got my coffee.
Yeah, man, a little bit is plenty.
A little bit, yeah. Life can be really enjoyed more if you remember what the fuck happened.
And you're in control of it when it's happening. And you're not always recovering and, oh, I got to sleep off for a day and I ain't got no energy and, you know.
And I'll be honest, it wouldn't even fit into my life.
No, it looks stupid. Yeah.
I mean, I could only do that because Pop was running the show. So he was doing all the strategic thinking.
You didn't really have to concentrate.
You know, I had to sober up for them 3 days where I was asked to work.
Yeah.
You know, I need you to go to this mission. I need you to go down to the Bahamas. I need you to go to New York. I need you to go
other
to
than
Miami.
That, you were
then
sloshed.
Just go. Like, it was, I ain't fucking with you right now, Junior. You know, but I'm telling you, next week, you come by.
Yeah.
Be ready.
But in between time and in the meantime, it was different times, but. Wow, man, it has been great, great, great having you here, friend.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, man.
You know,
it's been awesome.
Great meeting you, brother. So, you know, once again, only what we do here at Big Boss Filmworks. Again, shout out to Al Prophet, American Dope.
Motown Mafia for life.
Motown Mafia Podcast. We are, but for real, fam, we going to put this down in 2022. The streets are clamoring for it,
Al. Calling our name.
Yeah, for real. The streets are clamoring for it.
Man, listen. The security in this building, the security at MGM Casino, everybody. Al Prophet.
Oh, I know. It's bad for me, so I can only imagine what it is for you.
No, and the security at MGM, because I walked in MGM Casino for Thanksgiving, and I walked past, and then he was asking him for his ID, and I just thought he forgot to ask for mine, so I didn't want him to get in trouble. And he was like, oh, no, I know you're Al Prophet.
how times have changed, right? God is good. So, all right, fam. Hope you all enjoyed it. We'll be chopping it up again. Make sure. Hope you guys had a blessed Thanksgiving and all of that for whatever that holiday is worth. I ain't gonna get too political.
Just happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Enjoy your family.
Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Thank God for your freedom. Shout out to all the family.
And get yourself free from any substances that have you not free.
For real, man.
Right,
you know,
right,
and take
including it. And first and foremost, them goddamn blunts.
Man, and we'll wrap it up.
That's the worst problem of all.
When we were smoking weed back in the day,
they act like it's not a. You know, people I know, especially LA, got $50 a day. They got no car. They live on somebody's couch, but you come up with $50.
That's worse than a crack habit.
It's worse. It's where it is. Like,
that's $1,500 a month.
And they only going to smoke it. They got to smoke it out of some certain, I don't smoke those, and they want to go to another gas station. You're like, dog.
Come on, get a life.
You got to do this on your own time.
Yeah.
I'm not riding you around to look for the right program.
This is not your OG's weed. Like I said, back in the day.
It's the new heroin.
We were smoking
out the game.
Sensimilla and Thai Stick and Monkey Paw. That was hard to get.
You were somebody if you got that.
And it was 6-8% marijuana. THC.
Any bum now is smoking 25%.
And that means buyer beware.
They out the game. They through.
You know. So yeah, it's a lot. So it does disturb me, but we gotta keep just trying to do our part. At least put out the warning signs. Lean is liquid codeine. For you young people who don't know, that means that's the same basis.
Ain't no such thing as a Perc 30. That's an oxycodone.
They
calling that in the rap songs and making that sound so
bad.
So oxy.
That is what
same
it is.
Same thing you're selling to the custos that you look down on.
Guess
it's because you dissolved it in a bottle of Sprite with some lean. That don't make you better than them. It probably makes you worse.
So for real, fam, it's cautionary times we live in America. We're going to have to do some
chaotic
times. So we try to keep it real here. That's what we do. Life in the struggle. That is what we do here at Big Boss Filmworks. Reminders of life in the struggle. Luckily, the struggle's been going all right for a long time for us, and we do thank God for that. So last time, shout out. Everybody good?
Yes,
Run
sir.
Away.
Everybody
all right.
Good, man.
Appreciate you guys. Oh, we forgot all throughout this, but before we forget, do not forget to hit the like, share, and subscribe button. Make sure you check out American Dope. Tons of great content on there. Shout out to the young homie, Render. in the house. Look forward to doing some business with you in 2021. So it's your man, CRB Jr. We're out. Holla at your man. Out, peace.
All right, that was good.